Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
An Irish criminal who used an encrypted phone system to arrange international drug deals and people smuggling is now behind bars in the UK. He's one of the first people to be imprisoned in a huge international police investigation which hacked into the encrypted phone network called EncroChat. Police say the investigation has already recovered 115 firearms, 5,000 kilograms of Class A drugs, and €64 million of criminal cash. Author and journalist David James Smith has been investigating this case, and he joins me now. You're very welcome to the programme, David James Smith. Can we start with the Irish criminal? The Irish criminal at the centre of your story, Thomas Marr.
Yes, hello, welcome. Let me tell you about Thomas Maher. So he's just turning 40. He's a family man. He's got a wife, three teenage children. He lives in Warrington in the northwest of England, but he's Irish of origin, and ostensibly he's a road haulier. But in fact, he's a major drug trafficker and money launderer with very close ties to organised crime groups, particularly in Ireland. And in fact, one of the reasons the officers of the National Crime Agency believe that he moved to England was to escape some heat from these organised crime groups who had killed people he was associated with.
And he was connected, David, with the horrific discovery in Essex of 39 Vietnamese migrants who had suffocated in a container truck, wasn't he?
He was. I think, in a way, this is the beginning of his downfall. And he didn't play any purposeful role in that incident. But he, sometime before, he'd sold the truck that was hauling the container in which the Vietnamese migrants died. He'd sold that to an Irish criminal called Ronan Hughes. And when the migrants were found in October 2019, then it was turned out that Hughes had not changed the registration documents into his own name. So Maher was still associated with that truck, and the police came calling, and then they started giving him some attention.
And that was the beginning, as you say, of the downfall. What kind of other criminal activity was he using EncroChat for? And EncroChat, will remind people, if they didn't catch it at the top of this, it was an encrypted phone system that criminals were using. So what other criminal activity was run through that system?
Well, it was EncroChat had been in use for 4 or 5 years. By this time, there were something like 50, 60,000 of these phones all around the world. And the criminals who were using them believed that they were unbreakable, that no one could hack into them. They looked like ordinary Android phones, but none of the functionality of Android phones worked. And if you pressed a certain sequence of codes, you produced this secret EncroChat system, and then you could exchange messages. And Maher was using this to set up lorry runs to and from Ireland through the UK from mainland Europe, bringing in drugs and taking out cash.
It must have had the EncroChat phone system. It obviously had a very sophisticated operating system within it.
The work of criminal genius, you might say. It was set up in such a way that you could automatically delete all the messages remotely from within it. But it looked ordinary, and the police knew that criminals were using it, but they didn't know how to get inside it. And then there was a kind of breakthrough when the French gendarmes discovered that the EncroChat system was using a server in France, and that was the beginnings of the great hack, as we might call it.
Well, so it was the French police, was it, David, that first hacked the EncroChat system?
Yes, I mean, certainly the National Crime Agency in London were very interested in trying to break into it. And at the same time, the French, in partnership with the Dutch, they formed this joint investigation team, and they were beavering away at that. And they found a way to very ingeniously to create an update that would go through the servers and send an implant, an app, to all the EncroChat phones around the world. And that implant would then send a copy of every message that was exchanged between the users of the EncroChat phones to the French police. I mean, quite wow. Incredible.
And that was obviously in a secret, clandestine way. How long, I wonder, were they, the authorities, riding the system unknowns to the criminals?
Well, it began on, very specifically, it began on April the 1st, 2020. And I spoke to the officers who had investigated Maher, and they said every day was like Christmas after that. So they were getting, officers at the National Crime Branches were getting updates every day on the messages. So they said it was a bit like a soap opera, like a cliffhanger, you know, so you'd get the messages one day and you'd see what Maher was up to, and then you'd be waiting to find out what had happened the next day when the next batch of messages came in. So Maher was happily going about his business, not imagining that the forces of law were listening in.
Wow, that is incredible. And they were obviously getting geo updates as well, in terms of where he was in the world and so on. But did you say that there are upwards of 6,000 EncroChat phones in use around the world?
60,000, nearly 60,000, and about 9,000 in the UK. So, and the National Crime Agency said that they'd never found anyone using one legitimately. But that, of course, is not to assume that all the people who've since been arrested are guilty of the crimes of which they're accused. They've still got to be got through the courts. And there's a fairly growing controversy around EncroChat and the admissibility of this kind of evidence. Because normally in the English courts, you wouldn't allow phone tap evidence. So this evidence has to be got in on the basis that it's not actually a phone tap.
Yeah, it is fascinating. No question about it. But let's go back to Thomas Maher for one second. Tell me a little bit about how much money he was amassing and how he was spending his money.
Well, he was eventually charged with two counts of drug trafficking and two counts of money laundering. But the National Crime Agency were quite clear that they believe this is the tip of the iceberg, and that he was bringing in hundreds of kilos of drugs in fairly small loads hidden in special spaces on the lorries that either he used or that he found through his connections, and then going back the other way, probably millions and millions of euros, and often all kind of specially prepared for transit. So they would be literally washed and vacuum packed so that they wouldn't be detected by, I guess, sniffer dogs.
Yeah, and happened to Thomas Maher, David?
Well, he made loads of money, and he was spending it very happily. He, you know, treated his family to first-class holidays. He bought extremely expensive cars, very expensive watches, and he was having a good time. And then when the phone hack was discovered by the organisers of EncroChat, they warned, they told everyone, look, the forces of law have found out what's going on, and you get rid of your phones. And on that same day, June the 13th last year, Thomas Maher was arrested. The National Crime Agency never found his phone, and so to this day they don't know where it is. But of course they had all the messages. He'd done things like he had a foot ailment, and he'd taken pictures of his feet, so there was no doubting whose phone it was, because you know, it was his feet in the picture with his home in the background and so on. And he in fact pleaded guilty to the four charges. So that was an indication that he, you know, that he didn't have any answer to the case against him.
Okay, and there may be more prosecutions. Well, I must say it is a fascinating story, and thank you very much indeed for telling it to us, David James Smith.